Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three underway, and we decided we are going to play a little bit of Dan Quinn. He's meeting with reporters right now before the team heads off to Madrid after another dreadful loss.
I'll get rolling. You know, when something's not working, we shift from the question of why isn't it working to what do we need to do to get right? And right now that'll call for some change, and I'll take over the role as the defensive coordinator and all that entails. Known Joe as my right-hand man for years, and he took the news like the pro he is. As a defensive staff, including Joe, we're all consumed by getting it right, and that's exactly what we intend to do. And as far as like heading out on the trip and getting rolling, you know, as we head out tonight, I've been a fan of extended road trips, whether it's training camp or you know, in season to the opposite coast. It can serve a lot of purposes. And this trip, that is literally the definition of that. And so for all of us, the players, the coaches, we're really consumed by getting it right and getting better. And a week together, we need that, every bit of it. Finally, I'll end on some tough news on the injury front. Trey Amos fractured his fibula, and that will knock him out for a while, so he'll miss some significant time. So all that said, I'll get started with you guys, and we'll get rolling.
Go ahead, Con.
What led to the decision to do this? How long have you been thinking about that? What? Why now?
I think now, just after watching and reviewing the tape, you know, we felt off. You've heard me say that word, John. And so I thought this is the time to add into that and lean in. Joe and I have got a great vibe together, John. We've worked together, you know, through our time in Dallas. And we'll lean back into that space where, you know, he'll help me along the way and all that leads up into the game and calling it into that space. So having Joe, you know, and I been in that vibe together, we'll lean into that again, and we'll do that now.
Nikki?
Dan, what does this mean exactly for Joe's role going forward, if you're handling play calling and everything that, you know, defensive coordinator, what that role is?
Yep. So Joe will be involved all week, obviously, with the rest of the staff and, you know, planning and getting ready for the game. And then on game day, he'll be in the press box and, you know, with the vision on the coverage and the things that we need to do. And so, like I said, Nikki, I'm fortunate that we've been in that battle rhythm together during our time together in Dallas. And so we're going to try to slip into that spot, you know, as quickly as we can.
To Sean.
I know you guys have a lot of logistics that you're figuring out this week, obviously, going to Madrid, but specifically about when it comes to, you know, practice field, getting ready for game day operations at the stadium, what sort of work went into preparing for that, you know, throughout the year and during the season without, you know, being able to be on site there?
Yeah, to Sean, that's a good one, man. That's there's been a lot of people here who spent a lot of time, you know, to go into the spot to get ready. That's from practice to the hotel to where we'll go to when's the best time to travel and, you know, time difference and, you know, how to speed that up as we're going. So we've put a lot of work in. We've done some trips together, but not, you know, overseas together. So we've tried to make it as much like a normal extended road trip so the players can just kind of focus on getting, you know, exactly everything we want lined up to play like we can. So, but you're exactly right. There's been an army of people here behind the scenes that have taken trips, gotten things ready. So number of crew already went over earlier, and so they're ready for us.
All right, so that is head coach Dan Quinn. And I'll just say this, good call by my guy AMAC, who said, after I said, you know what, I'm not sure if we should play Dan Quinn. He's probably not going to say anything because I was not expecting them to fire Joe Witt to make a major change today before the bye week. I was expecting it next Monday. And AMAC said, no, you know what? We really should go to Dan Quinn live. He might say something important. And bam! Good job. Way to go, AMAC. Dan Quinn's going to take over as the defensive coordinator, meaning the defensive play caller. Like, Joe Witt staying on the staff. He's going to be up in the coach's box. He's going to be assisting and helping throughout the week and on game day. But Dan Quinn's going to call the plays. Dan Campbell yesterday called the plays for the Detroit Lions. He didn't like what he was getting out of his offensive coordinator. Remember 3 weeks ago today when I said after the Dallas game, you know what? I don't think Joe Witt should be fired. I'll meet you in the middle. Meet me in the middle. Remember that? And I said, Dan Quinn, call the place. I don't think it'll make much of a difference. I said, but don't fire Joe Witt. Meet me in the middle. And a bunch of you yawned. And that wasn't good enough. And they didn't do it. But they did it 3 weeks later. Meet me in the middle. You heard it first on this show. Because that's what Dan Quinn's doing. They didn't fire him. They just said, oh, by the way, Dan Quinn's going to be the head coach and the defensive play caller, which, you know, listen, I'm all for anything to try and change things up. Whatever they're doing now ain't working. Ain't working anywhere near how it should. So I don't know how much it's going to help, but it wasn't working. All right. Your instant reaction to that will keep you up to date. Oh, and obviously, again, now you lose another starting outside corner and your best corner all year in Trey Amos. Fractured fibula. He's going to probably be gone much of the remainder of the year, if not the remainder of the year. All right. Let's go to it. Instant reaction time right here on the Team 980. Let's go to Nigel in Baltimore. Next up, Nigel, what do you think about Dan Quinn taking over play calling duties?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Dan.
I think it's long overdue for one.
You're not Dan, you're Nigel. Sorry about that. I called you Dan. I was too much Dan Quinn on my mind. Yes, long overdue. I think
it's long overdue. I thought that was the reason why he's here. But my main important question, I think that elephant in the room, nobody hasn't heard, at least I haven't heard nobody talk about, is the strength and conditioning coach. It's like, who is he? Because we're getting a lot of injuries. And it's like, okay, so I'll quote that back to the strength and conditioning coach. What do you think about it?
Well, Chad Englehart is the strength and conditioning coach. He's been here through a lot of regimes. He's been here since the Mike Shanahan days. I know the players love him. I know he works his ass off. I do not think that the strength and conditioning coach is why they've had so many injuries. I think it's a combination of bad luck. And I also think there are times where it doesn't seem like the same philosophy, a message, whatever, is on the same wavelength as the football staff, the training staff, which strength and conditioning coach is a part of. It just doesn't seem like everything is right. And whether that's doctors, trainers, strength and conditioning, football staff, I'm not sure, or the player, you know, that I'm not sure of, but I don't think it alone comes down to, or primarily comes down to, the strength and conditioning coach.
Okay. I agree with you.
But it's not a bad question. I mean, I understand everybody's looking for somebody to kind of like pinpoint, oh, if we just change this, then, you know, we'll fix things or we'll stay magically healthy. And the honest to God answer is, Nigel, some teams never get it. Like, people think, oh, this is just a 1 year thing. Look at the San Francisco 49ers. They are ravaged by injury every single year. Some years they overcome it, and some years they don't. Every single year they are ravaged by injuries. Ravaged.
Right.
You know?
Well, last thing I'm going to say is I thought that he was going to take over. This is long overdue. He should have took over a long time ago, a couple games ago, if you asked me.
Well, but sure. That's what I said. Absolutely. That's what I said a couple of weeks ago. Appreciate you, Nigel. Thank you. We'll go to where are we going here? Let's go to Kevin in Virginia next up. What's up, Kev? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, Kev.
Where do I start? I mean, this is going to throw you for a loop, but I think Dan Quinn's too nice. I mean, he's great when you're winning, but, you know, the defensive coordinator should have been fired. And he talked about how they were together in Dallas. He just couldn't do it. And it's like shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. I mean, you got to start over at some point and part with people if you have to. And he needs to make some of the players more accountable. He never talks about the players and what they're doing or not doing, or the fact that a guy's open by 20 yards. You know, that I don't understand. I mean, I like him as a coach. It's just he's not the type of coach that's good at accountability, in my opinion. You know, this is a professional game. They're paid a lot of money to perform, and there should be consequences when they don't. And it's hard for him to deliver that message, it seems to me, because he doesn't want to hurt the locker room or whatever the case may be. But a Bill Belichick would have fired someone 3 games ago,
mm-hmm.
You know, if he had to. And it sends a message as well that, you know, you guys are professionals and you're embarrassing us. And you need to do something. You either need to perform or we're going to have to get someone else. And that's the way the game's played. So I wonder about whether he's tough enough in these situations to send a message to the team. The other point I want to make is, why isn't Adam Peters up there? I mean, you know, poor Dan Quinn has to take all the heat. Adam Peters has made a few mistakes himself, but he doesn't have to explain them, you know? I could point to 3 things he's done which has hurt this team,
mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem to have to answer those questions. You know, the Lattimore trade being the most obvious one.
Well, right. The reason for that is because the NFL, stupidly, as usual, the NFL is very stupid, does not require general managers to talk. So the Commanders' PR staff will make Adam Peters available a couple of times a year, but they're not going to make him available every week if it's not mandated. It's the reason why we get Dan Quinn. Let me see, 4 times a week. It's the reason why we get Cliff Kingsbury, and I don't know how they do it now that Joe Witt's technically not the defensive coordinator anymore. On Thursdays, normally we would get the defensive coordinator and Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know how they're going to do it this week. I guess Dan Quinn would. I don't know. But you get the point. Like, the only reason why we get that is because it's mandated, not because they want to do it.
But Quinn can't say, I don't have the horses, because then he's throwing shade on his boss.
Absolutely.
But that clearly is the case, and Peters has made some mistakes. And I must say, the media in this city, except for you on a certain occasion, is such a hype machine that we don't take a good hard look at really what we have and what we can be, we're capable of.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, sometimes I'm guilty of it too. I overestimate, right? I mean, I thought they were going to be, I mean, begrudgingly, I went 10-7. I was really leaning 9-8, and I convinced myself, no, I'm being too hard. And I went 10-7. And you know what? Not only are they not going to be 9-8 or 10-7, but I mean, they'll be lucky to win 2 more games this year and finish with 5.
On that point, my last comment is, if they're in the top, I'm hoping they're in the top 5 picks so they can trade back. So they have so many holes.
Yep.
You know, they don't have a second round pick.
That's exactly the scenario we talked about earlier in the show. Exactly what you just said. Caller brought it up, and I was saying, hey, if they can get to the 5-6 pick, you can trade back, but you don't have to drop out of the top 10. You could drop back to 8 or 9, pick up a second round pick, depending on how hungry or desperate the market is. You know, pick up a second round pick, pick up a 4th, which they don't have as well, and maybe a third and a fourth. All right, so you don't get the second, but you get the third and the fourth, or whatever the situation might be, but get something. And that's why I was so disappointed last week. And Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you. That's why I was so disappointed last week when they didn't make 1 single trade. Get something. get something. And instead, they got nothing. Let's go to Lee in Carolina next up. What's up, Lee? How are you?
Good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Driving back from the debacle last night.
Ooh.
Been that way for the last few weeks. At any rate, you got rid of Joe. So I think Cliff need to be next also. The chopping block. Also, team is in disarray. You lost your best rookie and your cornerback, so he's out for the rest of the year. So this team is, as I said after the Chicago game, it set us back for a while, and we're in big trouble for years to come. We don't have no draft picks, only 5 draft picks. When we first got this Dan Quinn, these Cowboy boys, it wasn't our first, it wasn't our second choice, it wasn't our third choice, it was a 5th or 6th choice. And now, you see what we're dealing with now. I was in Atlanta when we played them this year, and people say, man, you're going to regret Quinn. And that has come to fruition also.
Well, yeah, the fans there did not like Dan Quinn the last couple of years. There is no doubt about it. I've been down this road so many times where fans just hate everything about coaches, and only when they win championships are they fine. You know, like they don't like Andy Reid sometimes in Kansas City, and they certainly didn't in Philadelphia. They didn't like Tony Dungy, who all he did was make the playoffs every year and get to the championship game every year. They hated Tony Dungy ultimately. You know, I mean, fans are fickle, and I get that, and I get there's pressure and expectations to win, but you know, you got to remember they weren't saying that when Dan Quinn got them to a Super Bowl in year 2 and should have won that game. They weren't saying that, you know. They were only saying that when things went sour.
Well, I guess we got to give him his 5-year contract if he has a 5-year contract, and then stick with him for the next 3 years and hope we can get this thing going, because we do have some nucleus somewhere.
Yeah.
But if we, I could say, if we get rid of Witt, you got to get rid of Kingsbury also, because he's a one-trick pony. I don't know why we constantly run the shotgun, and when we got a 2nd-and-1 or a 3rd-and-1, you're in the shotgun formation. I know people say that about that all year long, but, you know, this guy is just he need to go also.
I hear you. I hear you, Lee. Let me jump in on you, because I got to get to one more here before the break. I would just say this. I do not think that's the reason why the offense is struggling, just because they're in gun or pistol. I mean, I think that is a very, very, very overhyped narrative. I'm not saying it wouldn't help them to have more variety. Of course it would. But that's not the reason why the offense is struggling. Let's go to Paulie and get him aboard here. What up, Paulie? How are you?
Rufio, man, how you doing? Hell to
Paulie,
the W.
What's going on, baby?
Hey, if something must be wrong with your phone or something, man.
What's that?
Or your laptop?
Yeah.
I'm checking my emails, and I don't see where you sent me my ticket to Madrid. You send that yet?
Yeah.
What happened?
It's coming. it'll be there next Monday, Paulie. Next Monday.
Hey, I was just messing with you, man. Hey, look, man, day late, dollar short with this replacement thing. Season's over with. You had to make this move when there was still hope for the season. I was talking to G from the shop, and he said something. We was talking about this most of the morning, but then he said something just now. He said, players will quit on you when they feel like you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And he's 100% correct about that. You seen that yesterday. That there was no – a lot of people was making business decisions yesterday. And you've seen that. And that's because they keep with Joe Witt week in and week out, he's doing the same thing. We talked about this on Friday when I said they're playing with house money. Throw the kitchen sink at them. And they came out and they ran the same defense that they've been running all year long, this vanilla defense. And you see players not reacting to it and making business decisions. So to me, that's how Trey Amos got hurt. He made a business decision. He didn't attack that play. You know, he made a business decision, and when you play not to get hurt, you're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I just think it was a day late and a dollar short on this. Now, moving forward, it ain't just about changing the coordinator, too. You need to change some players out of there, too. because I'm not even mad at DeRon Payne. At least somebody cared enough and was frustrated enough. Now, he lost his cool, yeah. I mean, was it the right thing to do? No. But at least he showed me that he cared enough and he was invested enough where he did lose his cool. But for you to say, okay, when he come back, that, and I don't mean you, I mean you and anybody, callers, whoever, to say, well, okay, when he comes back, you need to sit him on the bench because he's inconsistent and da, 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 da. Okay, well, why we ain't sitting Bobby Wagner on the bench?
It's fair.
Why he playing every snap? The only thing he's consistent at is being old and not good. So it ain't just sitting a player on the bench because he punched somebody in the neck. Let's sit all the players on the bench.
Right, but I think the point, Paulie, was not benching him just for performance. It was for being undisciplined and being selfish
okay,
and losing his cool.
Look at the team. The whole team is the whole defense is undisciplined.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Undisciplined in terms of his temper.
I know what I'm saying. I know what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, but to say, okay, he's also inconsistent, his play inconsistent, let's sit him down. Well, you got to sit down everybody who's inconsistent then. Like I said before, if there's a player on his roster and he's playing, you know, maximum amount of plays, and you don't have a 2-year plan for him, we need to be sitting him down. I agree with you 100%. They messed up by not even making any moves. Now we're talking about trading back from a top 5 pick. Well, you know what? We should have got some capital at the draft, at the trade deadline. I mean, that Laramie Tunsil trade sounds good. You talked about the Dolphins. When they was getting their ass handed to them like that, they started cleaning house. And they started with Larry Tunsil and Michael Fitzpatrick. And they built their roster from there. You know what I mean? So, sometimes, you got to do addition by subtraction. And I think they're holding on to some of these players for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, they holding on to resumes. And we try to move forward. If you ain't got a 2-year plan with these players, then it's time to sit them down. As far as the offense goes, the offense is healthy outside of the receiver position. And the problem with Cliff Kingsbury is there's no rhyme or reason to how he called plays. I don't like the shotgun stuff neither. But there's no rhyme or reason the way he – for every one great play he designed, there's 3 more duds that doesn't make sense of what he's doing.
All right, let me jump in there, Paulie. The ticket is in the mail. Okay, let me know when you get it.
No, the email, Rufio.
No, the mail. No, I'm gonna have AMAC trot it down to Virginia Beach. Okay, to Norfolk.
Barcode, Rufio.
Bye, Paulie.
Hey, man. Safe travel.
Thank you,
man.
Pal. Appreciate you. We got to take a timeout. 3:23. Breaking news, as you heard live here. Thanks to AMAC. Not thanks to me. What? No?
No, it's not thanks to me.
Yeah, it is thanks to you.
No, you
made an executive decision, and I'm glad you did.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
I don't think I did.
I think you did. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, as you heard, Joe Witt has been removed as defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. However, he is going to remain on the staff. Dan Quinn will take over and call plays. He, of course, was the Dallas defensive coordinator and Seattle defensive coordinator during the Legion of Boom days. The news elsewhere on the Commanders is Trey Amos is going to be lost for a while with a fractured leg and may be out for the rest of the season. And DeRon Payne has been suspended by the NFL for 1 game this Sunday in Madrid against the Dolphins. He does have the right to appeal. We're not sure yet whether or not he actually will for punching Amon-Ra St. Brown in yesterday's 44-22 debacle to the Detroit Lions. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow, he's had his practice window activated by the Bengals. He hopes to play on Thanksgiving night against the Baltimore Ravens. He was expected originally back in mid-December at the earliest. And the Cowboys still dealing with all sorts of emotions. They're still trying to figure out a plan to honor their late fallen teammate, Marshawn Nealon, who allegedly committed suicide last week. And one last NFL note, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers, Monday Night Football tonight from Lambeau Field, where it'll be chilly. 6-2 Eagles, 5-2-1 Green Bay. You can hear it here on the Team 980, and that's what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when something's not working, we shift from the question of why isn't it working to what do we need to do to get right? And right now that'll call for some change. And I'll take over the role as the defensive coordinator and all that entails. Known Joe as my right-hand man for years, and he took the news like the pro he is.
All right, so that is Dan Quinn. Less than a half an hour ago, live here on the Team 980. You hear him taking over as, I mean, he's still the head coach, but as the defensive play caller. And Joe Witt will remain on staff, and that's the big change. And I got to admit, I was a little surprised. I did not think they were going to make this move until next week going into the bye. After Madrid, but I guess they're like, you know, look, it's unsalvageable, and we've got to just do something to something. It does not mean Joe Witt's a bad football coach. It does not mean that primarily it's Joe Witt's fault. It means that they're stuck on stupid. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to fix it. They've got guys dropping like flies and not enough talent to begin with, and guys have regressed, and they can't force takeaways. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't tackle. They can't get pressure. Or they can't get home. Yeah, they're just trying anything at this point. It's like, you know, taking spaghetti that you're boiling on the stove, right? Taking it out with the fork, right? Letting it cool a little bit. Then you put it in your hand and you see, okay, you throw it against the wall and you see if it sticks. And that's what they're doing at this point. They have no idea how to fix this. They have no idea how bad it went or how it went so bad. So that at this point, they're just trying anything. And I give them credit for that. Because, again, I was not expecting this until a week from today. But, you know, here you go. See if you can salvage something out of this lost season. One thing I didn't get to during the trending alert, which we had a little bit earlier for you, so we'll get to a call here. Alex Singleton of the Denver Broncos just announced that he had surgery to help deal with testicular cancer on Friday. So he shared the news with his teammates. They say it was caught early, great prognosis. Still awaiting further test results, but I fully expect to return to the field in the coming weeks. So that is pretty incredible there. And you know, pretty heroic. All right, let's get at least one call in here, and then we'll try and get to everybody else. Let's get to Ian in Virginia. Keep doing that. Ian in Vienna. What's up, Ian? How are you?
Yeah, doing well. I think when you fire a coach in season, a lot of times it's a lose-lose situation because if the defense is better, the question is, why didn't you do this weeks ago? If not much, much earlier, like many of your callers have said. So that's one situation. And if they don't get better, the question is, well, can we fire Quinn as well? Because he clearly is the architect of the defense, the guy who decided to bring Joe Witt here, the guy who decided to keep Joe Witt in that position for that long. So unless there is some insane turnaround, which no one expects there to be, it's a very difficult position. And I totally agree with your previous callers about Peters. And I've been hammering this point. The plan was flawed in the offseason, and the execution of the picks is poor. Like, yes, they should have traded at the trade deadline and even picked up a sixth or seventh or whatever. But I'm like, do you have faith in Peters' draft so far? I don't. Mm-hmm. His free agent pickups have been pretty poor, I think, and his trades outside of the Tunsil one, they've all been bad. Debo, Lattimore, I mean, he's not been good at any of the three, you know. And look, this season's over, so it's not even about the offseason plan, et cetera, which was flawed. It's going forward. I want to know what would be better next year. How will this defense be better next year? What is Adam Peters' philosophy for next year? Because 2 years in a row, it's been a lot of one-year free agent, aging players, old San Francisco 49er contacts, and it's clearly not working. I think last year was such fool's gold with the strength of schedule, playing a bunch of second and third string quarterbacks, and getting red hot with a MVP caliber quarterback. Now, I mean, what's 2026 going to be like? It has to be a significant philosophy change with roster change, and frankly, with coordinator and coaching change. Is anyone think that Dan Quinn's going to be like, I'm the primary defensive coordinator for 2026? No. So, like, again, the whole thing, when you create such high expectations and you fail to deliver, that's when everybody gets fired usually, because you have to ask yourself, why did it go so south? And I think everything is on the table with this season. And if I were Harris, I would get rid of all of them, because it's been so bad at so many different levels. It's hard to justify any optimism for 2026.
There is going to be I appreciate the phone call. And as always, there is going to be a lot of gloom and doom. Last offseason was the summer of bliss. There's going to be a lot of worry, a lot of questions, a lot of doubt. And you have to hope that last year wasn't as good as last year turned out to be, and this year wasn't as bad as this year turned out to be. And that they, dare I say it, meet me in the middle somewhere. Just like your beloved host told you that they would do 3 weeks ago. I was just 3 weeks early, as usual. I'm ahead of the curve all the time. You know who was ahead of the curve today? AMAC. He said, no, we've got to get to Dan Quinn. We've got to get to Dan Quinn. And what do you know? Dan Quinn fired Joe Witt. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'll get rolling. You know, when something's not working, we shift from the question of why isn't it working to what do we need to do to get right? And right now, that'll call for some change. And I'll take over the role as the defensive coordinator and all that entails. Known Joe as my right-hand man for years, and he took the news like the pro he is.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Joe Witt to take it any other way. I mean, I'm sure he's disappointed, but I'm sure he's very disappointed in that they were not able to do much of anything, quite honestly, under his watch. No turnovers, no sacks, no disruption, bad tackling, everything, right? So I'm sure he understands it. And, you know, I mean, listen, he still has a job. I'm sure he still gets paid, you know, his contract, whatever that might be, 3-year contract. I don't know. And I don't know what this means for the future. One quick thing. Nikki Chavala put this up earlier before Joe Witt was fired as defensive coordinator. And it was a comparison to when the Commanders last fired a defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio. After 12 games, and remember that was after Thanksgiving in Dallas, compared to 10 games for Joe Witt this year, how bad the defense was this year compared to that defense. And that defense was pretty bad, as you know. This defense, a minus 8.2 defensive EPA per game. That defense under Del Rio, a minus 3.8. Yards, 394.6 this year, 377.7 under Del Rio in 2023. 6.4 yards per play this year, 5.9 under Del Rio in 2023. 134.4 rushing yards allowed, 113.1 in that year. That's 4.6 to 4.4 passing yards per game this year, 260.2. Here's where it was worse in 2023, 264.6. Interceptions per attempt, about the same. Sacks per attempt, way worse this year, 7.1% compared to 8.3% 2 years ago. Third down conversions, 42.3% this year, 39.5% a couple of years ago. A little bit worse on fourth down. Way worse in the red zone, 66.7% compared to 55.6%. You know, I mean, you see why they had no choice. I just thought the choice would be made next Monday. That's what I thought. All right, let's squeeze in a couple of calls. We only got a couple of minutes, so we're going to have to go quickly as everybody can. Let's get to Sanchez next up here. What up, Sanchez?
Oh, you know what it is, Chris. I'm going to go real quick. I got the green notepad out here. Mm-hmm. Look, I wasn't upset at Deron. I was upset at Deron Payne in the moment, but then I saw who he punched in the throat. Amon-Ra St. Brown deserves to get punched in the throat multiple times. And plus, if you don't want to go to Spain, I understand why. And are we really giving Dan Campbell all this credit for calling this offense against this defense? Like, stop it, people. He was playing against a JV league defense. Of course he's going to look all world. And we can't stop a cold. We can't stop my 94-year-old grandmother's got rheumatoid arthritis. What else was I saying? We're going to be despondent here, buddy. Nikki did bring up a good point about the Ron Rivera cut. This seems like this is a desperation move for Dan Quinn. And I hate to say it, I think he may have lost the locker room. Just the way those guys were acting on the field last, Zaquan Martin, Javon Kinlaw. I mean, Javon Kinlaw, he looked like he was trying to beat somebody up at a Kelly Clarkson concert. That's how hard we look. That's how soft we look. Because somebody pick up a fight at a Kelly Clarkson concert, and you know it's doom and gloom if Paulie is talking with sense on here. I have never heard him talk so calm and cool and collected with you. So I am so shocked. And then for your New York Giants, why are they getting the arsonist who committed the fire to do the next hiring? I don't get this. You're trying to get Joe Shane to put the fire out that he's already started? Other than that, I yield the rest of my time, counselor. Have a good one, and safe travels in Madrid.
Thank you, Sanchez. I appreciate you. Let's get to Tony in D.C. next up. Tony?
Hey, how are you today?
How are you, Tony?
I'm fine. I'm bummed, but I'll be really fast. So the first thing is, if what difference does it make who's calling plays if we don't execute them to begin with?
Yeah.
And then why?
Agreed.
Why do our second and third string players look so much less prepared and skilled, apparently, than the rest of the league? And the last thing is, in the beginning of the year, we were hitting hard. And you know, when I played football growing up, played high school, and I, you know, one thing we learned was if you're hitting harder, you're least likely to get hurt, or less likely. And they look so. Whoever just was on, you know, the last caller, just they look dismal, depressed, and then I don't. I think we got to give Peters a little more time. I don't think he made. I think that they made decisions last year about who we, you know, pulling people on the mm-hmm. roster for the, you know, because they got excited, but they weren't terrible. I mean, the only person I really can't stand is Latimer. I don't know why he's back, but anyway,
he won't,
just the execution.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably won't be next year. I would say that. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. We got to let you run so we can get to let's go Little in D.C. Little, got about a minute for you. Sorry to squeeze. Go right ahead.
Yeah. See how you do me, A-Mac? Shout out to A-Mac. He get around the whole DMV. Did he come to Little? But let me help you out.
Little, you call every day. I mean, I'm trying to get everybody.
I've been out of the country. So, but look. Have a safe trip now and going
Thank
down
you.
To Spain now.
Thank you.
And enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
You know they got a combine down there. You might have got a combine. Oh. You know, we got one down here on 7th Street.
Yeah. Oh,
you
know, I know that one.
They got the original one down there.
I know
hey,
that
but look,
one.
Let me say this and let me help the DMV out. My man Adam Peters, he batting one for one. But let's pump our brakes, DMV. It's going to take 2 to 3 years to get this thing right. We need some bump and run corners. We need a safety that can bring it like we used to seeing on this league and on our team. And you know what? Put your gear on and still pump your chest out. Because guess what? We 3-0. We 3-1 at the promised land. And in the promised land.
Where's so the promised land?
Like that. That's right. The Super Bowl. We 3-1.
Oh well.
You know what? We ain't got nothing to be ashamed about. Let this man do his thing. And like you say, Joe, we should have been gone out of here. Anytime you got cornerbacks, like I say, we need some bubble run cornerbacks. But you got cornerbacks playing 10 yards off the ball when it's 3rd and 4. When it's 3rd and 8, they're playing 20 yards off the ball. So, yes, it's the scheme.
Okay.
You know, I played safety in high school, and I ain't never seen that in the pros.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Whether you go zone or man to man. And the only reason Joe Witt was feeling so good up there in Dallas, because he had that freak. He had that freak on his own.
It helps when you have freaks.
But Dallas still ain't win a damn thing when he was up there. Yeah. He was there.
It helps. So all right. Thank you, Little. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'll let you know how Carmine's in Spain is. Let's squeeze in last one, Sean in Connecticut. Sean, got about a minute or so for you. Sorry to squeeze you, but go right ahead.
It's all good, Chris. I appreciate you getting me in. I didn't watch the second of the game. I saw some videos of the fans uniting in the stadium after, and I was very pleased to see that. But I wasn't going to bother watching that junk. I just knew it was going to be a blowout. But shout out Jahmyr Gibbs and J-Mo Williams for giving me the fancy dub. Much appreciate you guys. It's about time that DQ demotes Joe Witt. I mean, what can you say? I don't think he's lost the locker room just yet. I just think everyone's just being realistic. A million injuries. And I just saw Trey Amos broke his fibula or something.
Yep.
It just never ends.
Yeah.
And so I just want to see them, honestly, what I want to see, I want to see them start Josh Johnson, go full tank mode, lose out. And I will say the producer will love this. I'm so, AMAC, right? That's
yes.
his name, I hope?
Yes.
I am the biggest Giants fan for the rest of this season because if they win, we get a better pick. So please, all the bad teams on tankathon.com above the commies, just keep winning. Help us out. Let's get a good draft pick. Let's retool. Let AP cook. And let's just finish the season 3-whatever. Let's not win a single game for the rest of the season. That's all I got to say. Just lose out. Get the pick. That's it.
Just lose,
Thank
baby.
You, Chris. Have
Thank
a good
you,
one.
Sean. I appreciate it. We have officially hit rock bottom.
I mean, that was a great, like,
great
between
call.
Sean, yeah. Sanchez, like, that was yeah. a great way to.
I mean, Little, how about Little saying that on 3rd and 4, the Commanders cornerbacks play 20 yards off the line of scrimmage? I like Little, but, you know, I mean, yeah. You guys make me laugh. You guys make me laugh. All right, we come back, wrap things up. Dumb dumb of the day. I'm done for the week after this, but, you know, yeah, woe is me. I'll have nothing to talk about when I come back. Let's go to the break, and we'll come back dumb dumb of the day before we go to the DOC. All right, our buddy Jeff in Vienna, who is in Spain right now, but apparently the internet still works over there, sent us this headline in the New York Post from yesterday afternoon. Madman steals FedEx truck on New York City street and goes on a crash-filled joyride, then returns to the scene to do something else. What is that something else? Well, Dominique Bullock, yes, allegedly hopped into a parked FedEx truck in Park Slope, Brooklyn yesterday, shoved its 25-year-old driver out of the vehicle around 2:25 in the afternoon, according to police. The 32-year-old Bullock, the alleged perpetrator, sped off eastbound and smashed into a stationary 2012 Mercedes-Benz SUV parked a few doors down. Then he kept going, rear-ended into a yellow taxi, stopped at a stoplight, then plowed into a nearby church fence, causing damage to that church fence. Bullock, then realizing he was in trouble, ditched the FedEx truck, fled on foot. Yes, but he didn't stop there. No, he went back to the original crash scene and attempted to climb into a New York Presbyterian Hospital ambulance that had actually responded to the wreck that he created. He tried to operate the ambulance but was unsuccessful and quickly taken into custody, charged with robbery, attempted grand larceny auto. I guess Grand Theft Auto is delayed in coming out. Well, this guy thought, I'll just give the people what they want. Reckless driving, criminal mischief, and leaving the scene of an accident, according to authorities. But no injuries happened, so that's good. That's good. That's very nice. All right. That's going to do it for us. All right. So Doc Walker's coming up next, Burgundy and Gold today. Thanks so much to AMAC. Great job out of you. Again, I am out of here for the next five shows until next Tuesday, off to Barcelona and then Spain. Wish me luck. Hopefully my plane lands. Hopefully you'll hear me again. And if you're going to Madrid this weekend, come say hi. I'll be around. I'm not hiding. Looking forward to it. First ever trip overseas. Doc's up next. I'll see you in a week right here on the Team 980. Adios.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.